time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Now Bregman drives one deep to left field. Back-to-back jacks! Alex Bregman follows Yordan Alvarez, and the Astros on top 2-0.
Yeah, it was a good day yesterday for the Houston Astros. Look, they had the shortest break after the All-Star game. They only had 3 days off. A lot of teams got four. A lot of teams got five. They had three, and they kicked it off with a doubleheader against one of the best teams in baseball, the New York Yankees. That was the J.J. Mattejevic game winner. So DB, Dusty Baker, used four of his best relief pitchers after starter Christian Javier's five innings. All but emptied the bench in the ninth inning. J.J. hits that. They win 3-2. Game one was magical, but it was nothing compared to game two. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Josh Beard is in for Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes had a little bit of a traffic situation that we'll get to in a minute this morning. Game two was even better, but guys, let's just start with game one. Cool to see J.J. Mattejevic, one of the guys that you don't hear about as much on the team, not one of the quote-unquote superstars, getting a little confidence boost and getting that game winner.
Yeah, dude, I didn't think that he'd be able to be as clutch as he was in that moment, right? Like, when you're looking at some of these young guys who have been stepping up, and you look at the Astros roster as a whole and their lineup as a whole, when you see Mattejevic, when you see Corey Lee, you think of those are just guys that we have to get through before we get through the heart, right? The fact that they've been able to step up in some of these games, and especially Mattejevic yesterday in these big moments, is so huge for this team moving forward. But yesterday alone, it was the perfect day for me because my family went to the lake early. They left a day early. I didn't have anything to do. I was at the house. I watch baseball and drink beer. I bought myself a bottle of wine.
Wow.
Had a nice wine
Josh
day.
Josh was feeling romantic.
Oh, yeah.
With himself.
Feeling very romantic with myself. A nice red wine. Actually, it was some weird, sweet, prickly pear wine.
Nope.
I'll never buy it again.
Nope.
It was a horrible mistake. But drinking wine and watching baseball was not a mistake. And the games were just so much fun to watch. And you talk about Dusty Baker. He makes these decisions where I think so many people in the moment and beforehand question, Dusty, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and you see it on Twitter.
Right, yeah.
You see the anger for Dusty Baker.
All the time. But he makes these decisions that a lot of us would question, and it shows why we're sitting behind microphones, why everybody else is typing on a keyboard on Twitter, and why Dusty is there in the dugout managing that team, because he makes decisions that I think we've said this before, and I've said this before, that he has a way of showing trust in his players. And that almost always ends up paying dividends. Yeah, sometimes they get bit because of it.
Sure.
But he trusts players in big moments, and he's not going to make a switch here. He's not going to do that. He's going to do things like he normally would because he wants to instill that confidence. He wants to instill that sense of, you know what, Dusty believes in me. I'm going to make this happen. And it pays off.
And he said
more
that with Bregman. Remember,
yeah.
Everybody was telling him to take Bregman out of the three hole, and he didn't. All right, so an exciting game one. What you heard coming in to the show was that game two Breggy bomb. Now, first, there was a Yordan bomb. This is all in the first inning, by the way. Yordan homers, and then that Breggy bomb. They go back-to-back an inning later. They both did it again. Two-run double from Alvarez, RBI single from Bregman. That made it 5-0. Those two guys, by the way, combined for 5 of the 7 runs batted in for that second game. Now, to the Yankees' credit, a little bit of a scare there. Torres and Judge helped the Yankees close the gap. But it was the Chasmanian devil, ladies and gentlemen, Chas McCormick, that would hit a homer. The Astros win 7-5. Major October vibes.
Yeah. I have to issue a public. Well, okay. It's two things. This is both a public apology and a you're welcome, City of Houston. Yeah.
Don't hear both unless it's coming from politicians.
Right. Yeah. Well, look, I've been watching. I've been studying a lot of how politicians work. And I think that I both need to apologize and ask for y'all's thanks, because if it weren't for me saying on the air with Paul a few weeks ago, maybe the Astros should consider trading Alex Bregman. Would he even be hitting the way he is right now?
You were his motivation.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I was his bulletin board material. He put a picture of me up in his locker in the clubhouse, and every time he thought about going out to play a game and what he was going to do at the plate, he looked at that picture of me. And you know, and what is it? In Little Giants, where the kid pictures the toilet paper roll to catch the ball. Like the kid, the receiver kid has trouble catching the ball until he imagines that the ball flying through the air is a roll of toilet paper. Did I just age myself by referencing Little Giants? Totally
about.
Did.
Okay.
But a lot of people know what I'm talking about.
I'm sure they do.
That's what Alex Bregman has done with the ball. But instead of a toilet paper roll, that ball is my face, and he's just wanting to hit my face as hard as he can. But I would like to publicly apologize for being stupid and thinking that Alex Bregman would not turn into Alex Bregman again.
Well, here's the thing. He was in a major slump, and it wasn't, to your credit, it wasn't for like a month. It was for like the first basically half of the season.
Right.
We saw some moments. We saw him work on that swing and try to improve that swing. But Bregman's a big part of this team. And you look at the fact that Lance McCullers Jr. is still out. Now, he is starting tonight for Corpus Christi, the AA. We'll get to that, of course, in a couple of segments. But you have Michael Brantley, who's a very consistent batter, as Dusty Baker says. He's still hurt. So the Astros couldn't afford to have Alex Bregman in a slump anymore. And that's where they were at. And then, of course, Yordan Alvarez gets hurt. Jose Altuve had the leg contusion. So the main thing once you get into the second half of the season, especially as you inch towards September and, of course, October, is health. I mean, we see it time and time again in sports where sometimes it's not the best team. It's often not the best team that wins.
Right.
It's you know, a team that, yes, has weapons, but is the healthiest.
Well, especially having their weapons the healthiest, too. It's
right.
It's whoever's best players can stay the healthiest usually has the longest stretch run in the playoffs. But I mean, you said it with October. I've got October vibes right now. I am really, really bad about being hyperbolic, which is, I guess it's good for this industry and bad for this industry sometimes.
Good for the industry, bad for humanity.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There you go. I think that's the best way to put it. I have a tendency to be a little hyperbolic. I have a tendency to fall into recency bias. I have a tendency to just jump the gun a little bit. But this is the best team in baseball, and nobody can convince me otherwise. Top to bottom, from the pitching, from the starting pitching to the bullpen to for the lineup, top to bottom, all of the different guys who can fill in different ways. We're literally having conversations about who is the better utility player for the Astros, Marwin Gonzalez or Ledmus Diaz, and Marwin Gonzalez helped them win a World Series. And like I don't feel like this team is the same as it was in 2017.
Right.
But I feel as strongly about this team this year as I did with them in 2017, if that makes sense.
It does. And you know what? When you look at who this team has lost, be it to free agency, be it to trades, be it to players retiring, I don't care. When you look at the team, George Springer no longer here. Some of the biggest weapons, Carlos Correa. I mean, these things go without saying. But this team is still able to be dominant.
Yep.
So we're looking forward, of course, to the rest of the Astros season. Not maybe as, quote-unquote, easy as their first half, but they also had to travel a lot in their first half. I said it on AT&T Sportsnet. This is the best team in baseball. I have no problem saying that. I know. I've seen the Dodgers' record. I am aware of the Yankees' record, but we saw who's the better of those two teams yesterday.
You've been hanging out with me way too much lately, Vanessa, because now that hyperbole is starting to rub off on
you.
And
I get what you're saying, and I can appreciate. I actually don't know that it's hyperbole.
I don't think it is.
Team in baseball. Sean, glad to have you with us. Sean Mapes behind the glass. How was your morning?
Oh, it was great. So as I...
I'm convinced.
Yeah. Look, cool. I'm smiling. I'm happy. So I get out of the shower, dry off, think I'm going to have a great day, brought some lunch, leftovers.
It's Friday, TGIF.
You know, just killing it. And then I pull out of my driveway, take a left, and there is a truck blocking off the only way out of my street. And at first, the cab was just open, and I thought, oh, the guy's just gone. I'll just wait for him. And then I looked at it more. I was like, oh, no, that truck is very much stuck. And
it's
so,
blocking the only way out of your street.
Only way out.
Okay.
Only way out, because they're working on the other side, too. And that side is completely shut down. This part's supposed to be open unless there is a truck, you know, kind of teetering over a hill or over a little hump in the road.
Running up the hill.
Exactly.
he was Kate Bush, essentially.
Yes.
Like, yeah, Sean was Kate Bush this morning.
I haven't seen Stranger Things. Haven't I don't either. Know who Kate Bush is, but I take it as a compliment.
You just be, if you were a music connoisseur, you would know who Kate Bush was. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Is she related to George Bush?
Yeah.
No.
It's okay. His wife. So you're waiting for this truck.
For like 30 minutes. At one point, they get a bulldozer to kind of try to push the back of the truck to try to push it up that little hump. And at that point, it did not work. And at that point, that's when I shifted from being upset, angry, frustrated to actively rooting against the construction workers and myself. I was like, I hope we're here all day. This is my life now. I don't care if I am late to work. I don't care if I can't come do the show. I just want them. I want their day to be worse.
Yeah.
And once I started thinking more negatively and really rooting against it, of course they, you know, did the thing where they put more rocks and dirt underneath wheels to get the traction, and they did that. I was like, why didn't you try that first? But anyway,
such is
made
life.
It. I was like 30 minutes late, but still here, ready to rock and roll. I was ready to text RJ or whoever to like, hey, you might have to cover me at least for the first part. But we got past it. We're moving on. We're on to Cincinnati.
He was sending – great reference, by the way. And I – when he sent me the video, I would have exploded. I'm not going to lie. I would have been a Karen. I would have went and talked to the gentleman.
You would have tried to push the truck yourself.
I would have attempted to move the all things involved. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a new contract for one of the quarterbacks in the NFL, but the problem is some people don't view him as a top quarterback and what it means for the other QBs and their money situation. That's coming up next.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Josh Beard in today for a vacationing Paul Gallant. Hashtag pray for Paul anytime he's on vacation. So we continue that trend. Hope he's okay. All is well.
At least he's only in
Seattle this time instead of like, where was he? Cabo, Puerto Rico?
Yeah. What was it? The other day, you and the two of you were talking about if he went somewhere. I can't remember what place it would be. And I totally agree with you. You were like, if you went there, you would die.
That's a myriad of places.
That is a lot of places.
Was it Vegas?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Vegas.
It was probably Vegas. I get nervous for Paul. So we certainly hope that he's okay. We'll be checking his social media
maybe
feeds.
Miami?
Me? Oh, I think it was Miami.
I immediately forget everything that gets said on the show.
We also talked about – oh, thanks. We also talked about if you were a professional athlete, that lifestyle would kill him, too.
That would kill him. So I kind of want to do like a, just personally on my own, or we can do it all throughout the show, do like a high fidelity top five list, like top five places Paul would die if he went there. I think my number one, which maybe isn't the best way to start, my number one would be Amsterdam. Like I'm convinced he's dead
crazy.
In Amsterdam.
Okay, you go Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going to start with Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. Oh yeah, that's part. Isn't that Party City?
Scottsdale. If it's a college girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, Paul. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Paul.
Hashtag
look,
pray for Paul.
I love Paul. Like there's no real problem with Paul. But also here's the problem with Paul. He's starting to get up there in age, right? He's starting to get a little older. He's in his mid-30s. He's got to deal with it. He and I both have to deal with it. But like Paul in his mind, I bet you he still feels like he's 24, 25 because that's how I also feel at 36, but my knees always tell me otherwise. So I would love nothing more than to watch Paul go hit on college chicks.
Oh, someone said it was Nashville. It was Nashville.
Oh, it was Nashville. Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Nashville, Vegas, Miami, Amsterdam, Scottsdale.
Yeah,
Paul Gallant, you are dead.
Yeah.
But pray for Paul. He's not dead
yet. There's our top five. Top five places
Sean
Mapes Paul
behind the glass, of course, as always. And again, Josh Beard in for the vacationing Paul Gallant. All right, we expected a deal to happen on some front, but the details are staggering as Kyler Murray agrees to a five-year, $230.5 million deal. It includes $160 million guaranteed. It gives Murray the second highest paid quarterback average at $46.1 million per year. The average, that of course is via Adam Schefter. The average salary per year, fellas, $46.1 million.
Yeah.
Trails only Aaron Rodgers. The guaranteed money trails only one Deshaun Watson. So this is a massive deal for Kyler Murray, who has not done, in my opinion, a lot. I understand that this is the way that the market is now. I'm intelligent enough to know that. But he went weeks 8 through 18 last year. He had a 2-5 record, 7 pass touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And we saw him, for lack of a better term, kind of poop the bed in playoffs.
Yep.
So I was surprised that the numbers were this big and this inflated. What were both of y'all's reactions? Josh, I'll start with you.
I mean, instantly, my brain goes, okay, duh. Was going to happen. Here are my thoughts on Kyler Murray. I agree with you that he hasn't done enough in the NFL to really prove yet that he deserves to, that he needs to have top paid money, right? Top guy money. I don't think, I like his arm, but his arm isn't always the most consistent. It's not great. I love his legs, but sometimes he gets a little happy feet and he scrambles around in the wrong way at the wrong time and does a little bit too much. I think there's a lot of hubris that goes along with Kyler Murray and a lot of people. I mean, if you remember the beginning of the offseason, Kyler removed all images and everything about the Arizona Cardinals from his social media. And everybody was like, oh, is Kyler Murray going to get traded away from the Arizona right. Cardinals? Like there's just a little bit of he's had personality issues everywhere he's been. I've met him personally a couple of different times.
Not a fan.
Well,
lot of people say that, though, in fairness to you. I mean, that is not just you that say that you have an experience where he rubs you the wrong way.
I'll be fair to him. When I went up to him and met him at Radio Row in Atlanta a few years ago, I did have an ulterior motive to prove that he was actually the height that he said he was. And somebody was measuring me while I was standing next to him, and he did not like that. But that's beside the point. So weird. I get, at least in fairness to him, something weird was going on.
Didn't know that detail.
I left that out on purpose, but that's beside the point. I think Kyler Murray deserved every cent of this money. And I say that because when you have a franchise quarterback, which I do think Kyler is a franchise guy, he's only 24 years old. I think his arm and his talent is good enough. I think he's at least shown enough to show that he can be the franchise guy. You have to pay them that money. And I understand, like you said, this is where the market is. And when people were talking about Kyler Murray is going to get traded, I'm like, are you a boob? Like, that's not happening. He's a franchise quarterback. Franchise quarterbacks, unless they have 26 allegations against them and refuse to play for a team, typically don't get traded away. And so, of course, they were going to sign him to an extension. They were going to make him happy. And he was going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the entire NFL. I have my reservations about him.
I definitely have reservations about him.
I have issues with Cliff Kingsbury and his system, too. Right. And I don't know if it's all Kyler that's causing those issues or if some of it is Cliff Kingsbury. I have my thoughts about him as a head coach. And I think he has a lot to prove, too. I think his system has a lot to prove at the NFL level still. But, I mean, the money makes sense to me.
Sean, what do you think? What did you say when you saw these big numbers?
So my first reaction was the idea of – and we saw this a lot of, you know, 6-7 years ago where even if you are not sure he's the guy, you still just throw the extension at him because you're terrified of life without him. So that's like the – you know, the Joe Flacco extension from
right.
back in the day, the Andy Daltons, the Colin Kaepernicks, those kind of extensions. And then I also thought, well, Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, both on the hot seat. I bet they just wanted to get this headache over with. They're just going to sign them because if this doesn't work out, they're going to get fired in December anyway. They're not going to see the end of this 5-year contract if this does not work out. So it's not how you should run a team, but selfishly, if you're Steve Keim, you're like, yeah, sure.
Got to do it now.
$160 million guaranteed, whatever. I can go to my owner and say, hey, I locked up the franchise quarterback.
Right. What else do you want from
me? Try to save face. Hopefully, again, you can go at the end of the season, if this doesn't work out, go, well, it's not my fault. I locked up the star quarterback.
It's
the coach's fault. And then you can try to CYA.
So how does this affect the other quarterbacks that are waiting for deals? Joe Burrow, particularly Lamar Jackson. Give Kyler credit. He waited and it worked. I mean, it really inflated the dollars. I thought Robert Griffin III had an interesting comment this morning on GetUp. Here's RG3 on how this could impact other QBs.
It's not enough money, Mike T, to go in and ask for Deshaun Watson money. Lamar Jackson should not sign a contract unless it's fully guaranteed, 6 years, $300 million.
Wow.
That is what he's worth. He should be the first $50 million quarterback, because when I look at it this way, he's accomplished more than Kyler Murray has in his career. Kyler is feared. Lamar Jackson is more feared. Kyler is a dynamic playmaker. Lamar Jackson's a more dynamic playmaker. And listen, I don't really agree with all the stuff about Kyler Murray and his leadership and that all coming out, but you don't hear any of that stuff about Lamar Jackson. And even if it was true and there were some questions about his leadership and maturity, you wouldn't hear about it because the Baltimore Ravens don't do that backstabby stuff. So when I look at Lamar Jackson, he has an opportunity to truly change the game. Go out, get your 6 years, $300 million, fam, and you'll be that much closer to being a billionaire like you talked to me about when you were a rookie.
Okay, so I agree with RG3. That Lamar has accomplished more than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's where that stops.
Is he going to get that much more money? I don't know. And from your reaction, Josh Beard, I'm thinking you disagree.
Look, I get it. Can I give a personal message to RG3 real fast? RG3, obviously, friend of the show, friend of Vanessa and Galat. Yeah. This is my chance to talk to him. Robert, I get it. I understand it.
I actually
it.
Do know Robert.
I've met him once, but I don't
He's
know
very
him.
Nice.
I get it. I understand. Look, when you first get into the sports media industry, you feel like you got to make a mark. You feel like you got to make a name for yourself. But I will tell you to be careful saying ridiculously outlandish things like fully guaranteed 6-year, $300 million contracts. Because I, as a young, budding radio host, one of the first times I was on the air doing a show myself, said Myles Garrett would be a bust because I'm stupid. And sometimes we say stupid things when we're trying to make our mark. That's idiotic. $300 million fully guaranteed. No team in the NFL would do that. The only reason the Deshaun Watson deal got done is because David Mulugeta is a genius and the Browns are stupid. They're stupid and they suck. Like that is my expert analysis, by the way. They're stupid and they suck. That is very, very hard-hitting analysis.
Who's stupid
the
and
Browns.
They suck?
That's the only reason Deshaun got the contract that he got is because David Mulugeta is a genius and the Browns are stupid and they suck. Like $300 million guaranteed for 6 years for a quarterback who can barely throw the ball and he runs all the time and he was injured last year. In what world is that going to happen?
Not very likely, but I do. It's tough because I do agree with him that Lamar has accomplished more. But to your point, that much more guaranteed with the unique skill set that he has, that not every offensive system is going to value
right.
as much. Sean, what did you think of RG3's comments?
I think I'm in the same place you are, Vanessa, where I agree with them to a certain extent, but then, like Josh was saying, he gives up the game at the very last second where he goes, and that's he's you know that much closer to be a billionaire, which is what he told me when he was a rookie. And then I looked up Robert Griffin. He played with RG3 and Lamar played together for 3 years,
right?
So obviously,
he's
trying to get his friend paid as much as possible.
Yeah,
but I do think the nugget of truth is that Kyler Murray's contract. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I don't even. My contract offer starts with the Deshaun Watson contract.
That's it. Completely.
I am not the same caliber of quarterback that Kyler Murray is. I am better. Deshaun Watson is the starting point.
I remember Troy Aikman saying his first couple years out of the league as a broadcaster was tricky because you have so many friends on those teams and in those locker rooms. With RG3, he's getting better about it. But you did see for a while all the guys that have recently played that become broadcasters – they toe that line where it's like you are so clearly friends with that
Everyone
person.
Everyone should get paid.
Right? Everyone gets paid, and players are always right. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galant, we're right about the fact that you need to stay for this next segment. NFL Countdown, we are at 48 days. If you were starting a franchise today, little expansion team action, which quarterback under 25 years old do you want as your franchise guy? Let us know. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Galant.
All right, I don't know if I've ever been as ready for football season as I am now. It was something about this morning with all of the talking heads debating about Kyler Murray's contract, how it will affect Lamar, Joe Burrow, and then the Rams got their Super Bowl rings yesterday. I'm ready. 48 days, and it is time for our daily segment where we count it down. 48 days till the regular season kicks off. It's usually Paul Gallant. Today, Josh Beard is in for Paul Gallant. So, Josh Beard, it is your duty to pick out the number 48 jersey number.
Well, I feel like Paul would have gone the same route that I went with this. There were a couple of different guys that I wanted to choose from, but I decided to go with Steven Davis. Okay. Steven Davis, longtime running back for both Washington and both for Washington and Carolina, had his best season with the Carolina Panthers. That year was actually the first year I played fantasy football, and he was on my first ever fantasy football team.
You never forget your first.
Nope, you never forget your first. So Steven Davis, and I always thought it was weird to see such a prominent running back wear a number in the 40s, to wear number 48. Usually that was reserved for fullbacks, linebackers, stuff like that. So I went with him. He is a staple in the early 2000s fantasy football game.
I love that. I can't wait for football season. I'm extremely, extremely excited, and excited to see what the Texans can do. Let's talk about quarterbacks. We've been talking about quarterbacks. They're a hot topic today. Actually, as we look at ESPN right now, the TV monitor is on. It says better QB right now, Brady or Rodgers. So today, it is all about quarterbacks with the announcement of Lamar's new deal. So here's our question to you, the listeners, and certainly you can call us and let us know your opinion. You can get at us on Twitch. If you're starting a franchise quarterback today, they announce that there's two expansion teams. Roger Goodell comes to you and says, I would like you to be the commissioner of this new team. And you get to pick any quarterback under the age of 25 to start this expansion team. Who are you picking? Now, disclaimer, Lamar and Joe Burrow are both 25, so they don't count because it's under 25.
Come on, I was going to cheat.
Josh Allen and Mahomes are 26, so they're out of it. Here are the quarterbacks under 25. Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Davis Mills, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. Quarterback under 25 that you're taking to start your expansion team. Let's start with Josh Beard.
Well, there are definitely more at the top of this. There are definitely quarterbacks at the top of this list that are just far and above better than the other ones on the rest of the list. I look at Tua, and yeah, he has a lot of weapons around him, but there's a lot of questions. Mac Jones has a high floor, low ceiling. Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, we haven't seen enough from them yet. Davis Mills, we've talked about Davis Mills ad nauseum. We will talk about him even more nauseum, if that's how you say it. But the other five quarterbacks are the ones that are really, really interesting. Kyler Murray, obviously getting paid. He's not a one-dimensional quarterback. Unlike Lamar Jackson, he can actually throw the ball, and he can throw the ball well as use his legs. But the guy that I'm choosing, and this was difficult for me, it was down between two guys. The guy that I'm choosing is Justin Herbert because I'm going to play it safe. And look, Justin Herbert's not necessarily playing it safe. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now.
Sean and I both like Justin Herbert.
Love Justin Herbert. I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. Last year, whenever they came to NRG Stadium and you just saw him on the field, the guy is a giant. It's wild how big he is. And he's so athletic. He has great vision, and he has an amazing arm. But it was really hard for me not to, and this is going to maybe confuse some people, not to choose Trevor Lawrence. Because Justin Herbert, he has been doing it since his rookie season. He came in, took over for Tyrod Taylor. He has been doing it for a couple of years now. But there's just something about Trevor Lawrence's situation last year, and I've been watching a lot of film and a lot of tape on him. The amount of blocking that he got last year was disgustingly low. And the amount of drop passes the Jaguars wide receivers and pass catchers had last year was egregious. Now, that's not to say Trevor Lawrence didn't have his issues and didn't have some growing pains, but there was a lot that he was dealing with. Urban Meyer as his head coach, a lot of stuff that they were dealing with. And now I'm very interested to see how he does in Doug Peterson's system, with Doug Peterson being kind of a quarterback whisperer.
I mean, a Super Bowl champ who, had to navigate a really difficult quarterback situation and won a Super Bowl doing it.
Right, and I'm really intrigued to see what Trevor Lawrence can do in the future, but I have to play it a little safe and go with Justin Herbert.
My answer was also Justin Herbert. I will give you my alternative as well, because since we're, starting to expansion franchises.
How dare you.
It was really hard for me not to pick Jalen Hurts.
I
love Jalen Hurts. I think he needs to obviously become a better passer. One of his major setbacks that you'll hear people talk about, you'll hear scouts talk about, is that he waits too long to find the perfect pass to pass it, and you got to be a little grittier than that. But he hasn't had a lot of help in Philadelphia. He had to work with a new coach in Sirianni, who I think has done a great job, but still was a new coach. maybe it's because he's from the area. Maybe it's because he just kind of has a swagger, but he shows these bright spurts and these moments. He's in a great city to play football. I think he's going to have a lot of fun. I like Jalen Hurts. So my first pick, my safe pick like you, was Justin Herbert. And you can, I mean, if you watch the show, if you listen to the show, you know Sean and I stan, as the kids say, Justin Herbert. My second answer would probably, my dangerous pick would be Jalen Hurts. Sean Mapes, what say you?
You were going to say something, Josh?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't hate the Hurts pick. And Hurts reminds me, like, if he can get his, if he can get it together and stop holding on the ball too long, he looks kind of almost like a slightly more athletic Dak Prescott clone.
I like that.
And Dak Prescott's a top 8, top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. Hurts has that ability. It's just, can he get past that?
Right.
Yeah, if this was a question about, like, just any quarterback in the league for the next, like, 10, 15 years, and other than basically, like, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, my pick would be Justin Herbert. Yeah. Like, that's how, like, I, like Vanessa said, we're both insanely high on that guy. And it's such a shame he has to play for the Chargers.
Oh. It's a bummer.
Same thing with Trevor Lawrence, who would be my second pick, like Josh. Also, major bummer he has to play for the Jags. But in my fantasy team that I am now running, I am the owner. We're going to have a better culture than the Urban Meyer era Jaguars.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot better stuff from Trevor Lawrence. We're going to give him some weapons. And just that talent that he showed in college. I mean, when he was coming out, he was one of the best prospects, probably the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. And he's mm-hmm. just, you have to bet on that talent.
Yes.
With you both these guys.
Always bet on generational talent. Always bet on it. My dynasty, I love playing dynasty fantasy football. It's the only way to play it. I have an incredible team. I traded Dak Prescott for Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones just on the gamble that Trevor Lawrence can put it together.
And so, yeah, and I think we both have another rookie over Mac Jones. You probably had the best rookie season. But with Mac, I just don't see any right. way that he's, like, a star quarterback. Like, in the – if you drop him in the Chiefs-Bills game from last year, like, you're just not going to be able to
correct.
Keep up. You're right. going right. to have to figure something else out. So that's what I was really looking for in this, is those guys like Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. Even if Kyler Murray could just, like, stay relatively healthy,
yeah.
just could put a year where he actually puts it all together on tape, then I think he would have more consideration for me. But we've just never seen it. And like Vanessa said, the last time we saw him, he looked like a JV quarterback.
Absolutely. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Is there some press box beef last night with the Astros? Plus, bling bling, the Rams get their Super Bowl rings, and they are something to behold. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Who doesn't love a little press box beef? Who doesn't love a little pop culture reference? Well, today, folks, we have both. After a Mark Berman of Fox 26 tweeted pitching coach Bill Murphy after the All-Star game got Jose Urquidy an autograph from Puerto Rican rapper Bad Bunny. Brian McTaggart tweets back Mark and says, "What's your favorite Bad Bunny song, Mark?" Of course, implying that Mark doesn't listen to Bad Bunny. Mark replies back, his song with Drake, "Mia." What do you think about that, fool?
Odds on whether or not Mark Berman Googled Bad Bunny song.
He texted
and Mia
his
was
grandson.
The first.
Oh. Had to have. Had to have.
The best part is the first reply to Mark's tweet about Mia says, "Might need to check if Mark's been hacked again."
Like, yeah, he was giving away the fake PS5s for a while.
Now he's going to be giving away Bad Bunny albums. I got free mint condition Bad Bunny vinyls. Yeah.
Is he coming to the Toyota Center anytime soon to hit up Berman for some tickets?
Yeah, you got tickets. Hit up Mark Berman for some tickets
Mark
to
Berman
Bad Bunny.
Mark Berman will wait for him at the airport with his phone. Bad Bunny in Houston, Puerto Rican, proud of Puerto Rican baseball players. I did not know that Bad Bunny was as big as he was in the Puerto Rican community. He was at the celebrity softball game and then was at the All-Star festivities. People were going nuts for him.
Yeah, I thought Bad Bunny was just the Easter version of Bad Santa and thought it might also have Billy Bob Thornton. I know Bad Bunny. I've heard Bad Bunny. I don't know that I've ever heard a Bad Bunny song, though. I can admit that. I'm no Mark Berman, okay?
Are you a Bad Bunny fan, Sean?
Not really. I mean, I've heard some of his songs, but not really.
I think he's in that song, I Like It Like That.
He is. The Cardi B song.
Yeah, the Cardi B song.
Oh, okay. I have heard that one, so there we go. Okay, I've heard one.
But, yeah, the remix. But he is really, really big. There's a lot of Puerto Rican players in baseball, and they all do love Bad Bunny. A lot of them have them him as their walk-up song.
Yeah.
So we've all probably heard it.
So Bad Bunny, I saw this, and this what I just remembered it. So his latest album, Un Verano Sin Ti, which means One Summer Without You. Shout out to High School Spanish.
There you go.
So Bad Bunny broke his own all-time record for biggest streaming year for any artist on Spotify history.
Wow.
With 10.3 billion streams this year.
Shout That's out to Bad
wild.
Bunny.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bad Bunny and shout out to the Google machine.
Shout out to Mark Berman.
Shout out to Mark Berman.
How many of those 10.3 billions do you think were Berman?
He's at least 1 billion.
Yeah.
At least all 1 billion listens of Mia.
Yeah, I don't even know if I know that song, but I enjoyed that little interaction.
Have you ever had any like fun beef in like the press box or anything like
you
that?
You know what? Funny you should ask. I've had a couple of incidents.
Okay.
And none of them, of course, we never think anything is my fault.
Are you a press box troublemaker?
There was one time where, okay, so I'm going to take you back to the fall. The Astros are playing in the ALDS, I believe. Or you know what? It actually, I think, was just flat out the world. It might have actually been the World Series. So the Texans were playing that week. I don't remember who they were playing. Mm-hmm. So the Texans press box, I was the only local news TV person. Let me explain what I mean by local news. There's obviously like four main local news stations, Fox 26, ABC 13, KHOU 11, and KPRC 2.
Right.
Then I think there's two local news Spanish stations. So there were plenty of radio people there. There were Chronicle people there, but the local news TV stations, of which there are like six locally, and they all have sports departments, I was the only person. Now, the World Series was going on, so the Randy McAvoys, Greg Baileys, Mark Bermans of the world were at the World Series.
Right.
But there's still a lot of other employees, and I was the only TV person. Now, the way the Texans press box stacked up, the TV people sit at the bottom,
right.
The radio people are at the top. Whatever. So I think it's, you know, I thought it was humorous. The Texans, shout out to the Texans, love the Texans, but they were so bad that I was the only TV person there.
Right.
So I snap a picture, and all I said was something like that moment when you're the only local news TV person there.
Oh, no.
Whatever. It was just funny, and it was an indication of the fact that the Texans are so bad.
Right.
That in some people's minds, they're not worth covering. And
right.
No. They were not all at the World Series. There was one person from each station at the World Series.
Right.
So I just thought it was funny. And there were, as TV local news TV people do, they get a little bit sensitive. And there were a couple of people that thought that I was targeting them and that I was bullying them and trying to call them out for not being there. If you don't want to cover the NFL team that you're supposed to be covering, don't be mad when you get caught. That's
you know,
all I got to say.
You know what's funny is that sounds like something that I would have done and not I wouldn't have thought about it either. I would have just been like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, I am 100% on Vanessa. Like this, it's just a thing where it's like, hey, look how awful the Texans
right.
are.
It,
it's an NFL franchise that does not have a
right.
single local. Obviously, there's extenuating circumstances, but like you said, there's only one person from each station at the World
right.
Series. These people, these sports departments have more than one person.
Well, and I look
yeah.
at that. I
most
look
of
at,
them have two or three. Most of yeah. them have three on air people at least. There's one of them that has two. And no, they were not all at the World Series. So my point is that everybody thought that it was worth it, not worth it to go to the game.
Right.
And so it was a knock on the Texans being bad. And oh boy, I got two or three, and one of them is a local radio guy that loves to stir the pot at one of the other stations that texted me, heard you're making people mad because you're calling them out for not being at the game.
Oh, I know who. I instantly
and
already know exactly
there
who
was
that is.
There was an on-air person at one of the stations that was like, yeah, hey, just FYI, like, so-and-so thought that you were really calling them out. And I just thought, this is why people don't like on-air, quote-unquote, talent, because they think everything is about them.
And that is the weakest thing from the person being like, hey, someone else thought you were calling them out.
Right.
Because there's, like, multi-level, like, whatever, being self-conscious about it, because
Totally.
He's talking about himself.
For sure. They're definitely, they definitely mean themselves.
It's like, called projecting.
That'd be like if I went, if I came to you, Sean, I'd be like, look, Sean, I need some advice for a friend. He's having trouble in the bedroom and I don't know what advice. Like that, no, that's that, there's no friend. It's just me.
Right,
like it's just, that's hilarious. That's hilarious though. My stuff was always, I'm just loud. Like, and I've never been able to act appropriately, literally anywhere.
You're saying you're beef?
Yeah, my beef is always with the press box people. It's with the press box itself because I always get in trouble for being too loud. Yeah, especially at NFL games.
And that's for, and you know what? The man that usually sits in your seat, Paul, will admit he has the same issue. But yeah, I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that there were like at least three people, and the other part is that media people stir the pot.
Yeah.
So I was hearing from around, and I just like made the decision, I am not going to apologize because I don't have anything to apologize for. And if you're narcissistic enough to believe I'm talking about you, that is a you problem. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm very direct. So if I have an issue with somebody, I will just tell them. And if somebody has an issue with me, I expect them to just tell me they have an issue.
Well, I like,
but nobody could do that.
I like to tell people that's not an ish me, that's an ish you. Okay,
that's
so like
very
you got to deal with that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, let me guess, you have kids.
No,
it's not a dad joke.
It's the most daddiest joke I've heard. So have you had any press box beef?
No, not really. I mean, I've always kind of had that imposter syndrome whenever I've been in press boxes for the most part. And so I kind of like slink back in the corner. I'm like, I'm just the press box troll. Don't talk to me. And so I tend to not make myself known. But really in the Texans press box is where I had the biggest issues. Cause I'd be like, I'd jump up. I go, oh!
Yeah, can't do
but
that.
But it's like that slow-mo.
Can't do that. Can't be a fan.
I gotta sit back down again. Yeah.
And I'm one of those people, by the way, that will scoff at you if you do that.
Really? Are you?
Oh, you.
Why?
I like you, but if you're in the press box, you're not a fan. You're covering
the
game.
Oh, my. That is. I'm.
You know what?
That
then
is
buy a nosebleed seat.
I hate that because most of us, I don't mean that in a bad way. Most of us got into this because we're fans
totally,
of the game.
Totally, which
right?
is why you should absolutely buy a $30 ticket and sit in the nosebleeds if you want to cheer.
No way, because there's no pecan pie in the $30 nosebleeds. Thank
so
you very much.
That you are encapsulating the problem with media right now.
I'm a radio guy. I'm an entertainer. I'm not a journalist. Pop in your earbuds and watch the game.
You cannot cheer in the press box. Sean, have you ever had beef? I mean, usually producers probably don't. But
yeah, no, because the only time I think I've been credentialed for a press box was when I was like a student journalist at UT.
Oh.
And so that was all just like, oh, my God, like imposter syndrome, like.
Yeah.
Not even imposter syndrome. I was an imposter, basically. I was the entire time. I was like, "Oh my God, that's like." There's one guy from the Fox Austin channel who was the weather guy who somehow was credentialed for the but he does like the interstitials during like football games about the weather for that day, and so I took like a creepy picture of him as he was eating before the game. Just like, oh my God, there's Scott whatever from Channel 7. I sent a picture to one of my friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get
I bet
that.
If he saw that, he would not enjoy
because
it.
Because when I was a student in Indianapolis, I was credentialed to Colts games. And you're on your best behavior, especially when you're a student, because you already know people are looking at you
exactly.
like, who the hell are you?
Exactly. They're looking for any reason
Correct.
To hate you.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rams got their Super Bowl rings. And these are excessive. I don't really know how to describe it other than lots of diamonds. There are some things that are traditional. There's the last name on the side, of course, and the number of the player. But then the top comes off, and inside of the ring is a very detailed picture of the field from the Super Bowl. Bengals on one end zone, Rams on the other end zone. There's palm trees. This thing is gorgeous. It's extremely heavy. I don't know that I could wear this, first of all, and I would be afraid of losing it. But did you guys see the rings? And if so, what were your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I'd wear it. I'd wear it everywhere
Flex.
For the rest of my life.
Flex.
Are you kidding me? Now, I'm not a big palm tree fan, so I'd have an issue with that. But I guess for that many diamonds and for what it means, I guess I can get past that.
Because it happened in L.A.,
right?
Yeah.
I guess I can move past that. The rings are incredible. They are – like when you see these Super Bowl rings – so Ted Johnson, when I used to work with him, he would bring in his rings and let people like check them out and try them on. These Super Bowl rings are massive, and I would – I don't even care if it's just like this caricature-ish version of my hand with a massive diamond. I would just walk around with my hand up all the time too. It wouldn't even like I wouldn't just wear it. I would wear it on display.
You'd be like, oh, I got to like wipe my forehead.
Manicures every week to make sure that my fingers are on point for everybody to see. Got to have good, nice, got to have good cuticles when you're showing off the bling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would literally wear it everywhere. This thing's, it is actually very cool. Though.
Very excessive.
That's
gorgeous.
My favorite thing when TV, especially like the former players, when they put them on and then like you can tell they're like using their hand next to the face, like. Like doing the president thing where they're whatever, just to like flash the ring a little bit. That's always my favorite.
Women do that too when they get engaged. I mean, when my girlfriends get engaged, like every picture they have a cup, they're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, if it wasn't like, because obviously they're happy, whatever. I'm not trying to like demean right. them, but I would love just to see a collage of all the awkward poses. From engagement,
there.
Like announcements and like the, you know, the photo album around it where every picture is like you said, like curling your hand.
100%.
To, like, I would love to just see all the pictures of like all the girls doing like different weird ways.
My best
to, like...
friend would just admit it too. She'd upload a picture of in her car and she'd be like, this is not a photo at all to show off my ring. It's just my hand on the steering wheel. And I'm like, okay, I can appreciate that since you're calling yourself
yeah, yeah.
out. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. How about them Astros? Unbelievable. Plus, one of those Astros coming off the IL and making his debut tonight with AA. We'll talk about that coming up next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.